Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. And Lord, we do pray that you would help us to consider your word. We ask that your spirit will be our teacher. He will illuminate us and guide us. And Lord, show us what your will and ways are. And Lord, we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you see the topic there today. It is fasting. Now, that's not because of the time of the year where it might be good for us to have a few fasts. It's because I have actually had a number of people over the last month or so ask me my thoughts on fasting. And I have to be honest and say that for most of my life, I've never given biblical fasting much of a thought. I never grew up in a family where they talked about fasting, or a church that even taught on fasting, and my father was the pastor, so I'm pretty sure that no one else got taught those things as well. And I must admit that for most of my life, I've thought that fasting was something they did in the Old Testament, and then some crazy charismatics did today. I worked with a charismatic, and he said that his pastor fasts once a year for 40 days and 40 nights to be like Jesus. And I thought that was absolutely ridiculous. But that was fairly common with them. And so until recent years, apart from my feeble attempts to diet, the closest thing that I've ever got to fasting was when I was about 15 years old, when I attempted the 40-hour famine. I don't think they do that these days. But back in my days, there was the 40-hour famine, and I lasted 10 hours. I was at 11 o'clock at night to 10 o'clock in the morning. And I saw a big bowl of Weet-Bix and I couldn't resist. And so I lasted 10 hours. So that's about the most fasting I've done for most of my life. But the question is it something we should ignore? Or is it something for believers today? Is it something that we should be doing? Or certainly, have we been missing out on blessings because we don't do it? Well, I'm going to try and answer some of those questions this morning. And so, what is biblical fasting? And I really wish I could say, well, to answer that, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse whatever, and we read, make sure you fast. And a true godly fast is when you, and it's laid out systematically for us. And so we have a direct command to do it, and then we're told exactly how to do it. Wouldn't that be nice if we could have that? And then we could know in black and white if God wants us to do it, and if so, what he exactly expects. But we don't have a verse like that in God's word. What I did find is a definition that someone who had written a book on biblical fasting, and I do believe, or I trust at the end of the message today, you'll be able to look at this definition again and say, yeah, I think from God's word, that's pretty correct. Let's see what he said. Biblical fasting is abstinence from food in order to concentrate on a definite spiritual problem or need. It's done in conjunction with confession of sin and prayer. So that's the definition that I would like to start with. Fasting is abstinence from food in order to concentrate on a definite spiritual problem or need. It's done in conjunction with confession of sin and prayer. And let's see, by the time we get to the end, if we agree with that or not. Let's have a look at some basic elements of fasting that we do see in the Word of God. First of all, it is abstinence from food. I think we need to get that clarified. When Jesus had his 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, afterward he was hungry. Now, the reason why he was hungry was because he wasn't eating food. Now, you might say, well, that's really basic. But there does seem to be a trend with people who fast where they turn it more into a gimmick where they work out, what sort of fast am I going to do for God? I read of a man who went on a milkshake fast where he only drank milkshakes for 2 days to show God how much he loved him or whatever it was. Now, I could do that quite easily. I love milk and I could have every type of milkshake under the sun. I could probably go on a 7-day milkshake fast, to be honest. But to me, if we're going to fast, we should see what we see in the Word of God and don't make it a gimmick. Do it something that God is pleased with. I do believe we need to do that. And we see here, and we'll see throughout God's Word, that when they fasted, it was going without especially food, sometimes food and water. So they consume nothing. And so, one of the basic elements is abstinence from food. There are other things that we see that go with fasting. Biblical fasting is always associated with an attention to prayer and communion with God. This is a time when you are wanting to beseech God about something. It's not just a ritual where you just don't eat for no reason. When you look at God's Word, you see that there is most of the time prayer associated with fasting. Let's have a look at some. Nehemiah, came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Psalm 35:13. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. Daniel, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications and fasting. Matthew, howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Defraud not one another, except it be for with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. And so there seemed to be a correlation. There always seems to be fasting and prayer. And that's because if we look at our definition, it is going to God for a particular need or supplication. You're going to God for something. And so it's just not, I have a need, so I'm just going to not eat and God can work out what I want. No, you're not eating and you're coming to God. There is supplication before him about something. Also, often there is confession of sins as well. And I suspect if you want to come before God and you have a great need, you're not only just going to ask him for what you're asking or plead your cause to him, but you're also going to make sure there's no barriers between you and God so that there is sin stopping that prayer from getting to the Lord. And so there is a confession of sin. Now, I've only got one example that I'll show you. Daniel, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, and he said a few things. We look at the yellow in verse 5. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Oftentimes there's prayer as well, prayer of confessing of sin as well, when someone comes before the Lord. Now, with this prayer and fasting and confession of sin that Daniel made, there are no details of how often he prayed and how often he confessed sin during that time of fasting. Now, we're not even sure how long he fasted for, if it was just a day or a few days, but what we do know is if we read the prayer that he prayed, it only takes maybe a minute. And so even if he fasted for a full day, you could just pray that in a minute. But I suspect that he prayed often throughout that day and he besought the Lord regularly throughout that day as he also confessed sin. And so they are the three major elements when it comes to a biblical fast that I can discover. Abstinence from food, prayer with communion of God to God and confession of sin. Now, one of the big questions is how long is a biblical fast? That's one of the things that's always grated me. Okay, if I am to fast, well, how long should I fast for? Is it just skipping a meal? I just won't have breakfast and I'll wait to lunch. How long does God expect? Well, if you like nice, clear-cut answers where you can just put it in a box and you can know exactly, okay, God wants me to do it for this long and this way, you're going to be very disappointed. Because when you look at God's word, you see that there is no real pattern. All we can do is look at those who fasted to God and see how long they fasted and see, get a basic idea. And the basic idea is there is no pattern to it. Right? Let's have a look. Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days. So get that, there's no eating and drinking at this time, night or day. So it's not like you eat, don't eat and drink during the day and then you can fill up at night. No, it's don't eat or drink, neither day or night, for 3 days. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. So here we have 3 days when she was going to go in and seek that special privilege from the king. In 2 Chronicles, they arose, all the valiant men, and took away the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons and brought them to Jabesh and buried their bones under the oak of Jabesh and fasted 7 days. Now that was, we don't see fasting and prayer, seems to be like a time of mourning, showing God that they were very upset about this, but it was for 7 days. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So Nehemiah, we have here certain days, so we suspect it's more than one day. We have Jesus' example, who fasted for 40 days. David, he besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the 7th day that the child died, and then he broke his fast. Now we can say, oh, he fasted 7 days, that's true. But he was fasting until he got an answer. So I'd hate to think what would happen if the child was sick for a month or two, how he was going to go then. But that fast lasted 7 days. In Nehemiah 9:1, now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon them. Now here we see that they assembled. It appears to have just been a day. There was a particular day they came before the Lord and fasted and besought the Lord. And so if you put all them together, well, we have 1 day, we have 3 days recorded, we have 7 days, we have certain days, we have 40 days of fasting. So as I said, there's no specific period or any pattern. But what I can see is there must have been at least a day. Not saying a 24-hour period, but at least the day. And maybe break the fast at night. But I'm not going to be able to prove that in any way. What I can say is I do have evidence that someone fasted for at least a day, some for 3 days, and so on. So there's no real answer, but as you can see that it was for a good length of time. So the question is, why do we fast? In the sense of what reasons would we fast and pray and come before the Lord? Well, there is no one reason why you would do this. In fact, I think there are innumerable reasons why you would do that if you were to fast. But we do see some reasons in the Word of God. Jesus tells us that there are some demonic powers that can only be overcome through prayer and fasting. It says there in Mark 9, "And the Spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, the disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Could there be some demonic powers, some demonic strongholds that people have in their life where prayer and fasting is required? I suspect there is, on the basis of that. We know that Daniel saw a vision and he wanted to understand it. And so he prayed for wisdom to know what that vision was about. And it says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications and with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." So could it be that if you have a very important decision to make, and you want to know what God wants, you want God's leading, well, a part of the process is not just praying, but fasting as well. Showing God you mean business and seeking Him to guide you in that. We see evidence from the Word of God that that's the case. Now, this is more of a general one. Some fasted when God's help and protection was needed. Ezra, so we read, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before God to seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance." See, there were people going to come and destroy them, and so they needed to know what God wanted them to do or to seek protection, and so he called a fast. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 2, "Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazaz-on-Tamar, which is En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah." So they needed protection, so they asked God for help. And we've already read the one with Esther as well. There was a need for protection. There was a need for help from God. And so what did they do? They prayed and fasted. People fasted during times of special repentance, confession and revival. In Joel, this is what God said, "Therefore, also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God." God said, I want you to weep, and mourn, and fast. So that was a commandment to his people in the Old Testament. Jonah. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. And so that need of repentance. And we also have already looked at David. David fasted for mercy upon his child. His child was there, dying. He was sad for that. He didn't want that child to die. So David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And so he showed God he meant business. Now, a very important one is where we read in Acts, the church at Antioch fasted when new ministries were launched and when men were sent to go and preach the gospel. In Acts 13:2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And so that is the sending away of Barnabas and Saul. And then in Acts, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Now we don't know how long they fasted at this time. Might have just been a few hours, a day, whatever it may be. But the important thing here is we see how the early church practiced fasting. This is an Old Testament. This is New Testament. Not only is it New Testament, it isn't Jewish people continuing on their Old Testament ways. Those at Antioch were predominantly Gentiles, yet they, as Gentile believers, fasted for special needs and occasions. And so that is a very important one in regards to fasting. Now, just some other general things about fasting that are very important for us to note. Jesus said his disciples would fast. Are you a disciple of Christ? Well, this is what we read in Matthew. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. So Jesus said, there will come a time when my disciples fast, when I have left. Now, he's left a long time ago, all right, just in case you're wondering. Jesus promised that the Father would bless fasting. But thou, when thou fastest, this is talking to his disciples, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And so there was a promise from Jesus that there would be rewards for those who fast before the Lord. We also read, now this one is a little bit more debatable depending on what you believe the word is meaning here, but Paul says, 2 Corinthians 6:4, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labours, in watchings, in fastings. Now, some would say that's just talking about going hungry because he had no food. Some would say it's in regards to fasting to the Lord. Similar thing is mentioned here, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. So it's sort of stuck in the middle there with terrible things that have happened to him. Yet he says hunger and thirst and fastings. Now you can take it one way or another, but it appears that there was fasting there with the Apostle Paul. Biblical fasting isn't to be for show. That's one thing we do know. Jesus said in Matthew, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And he says, make it so that you don't even appear to be fasting. That's how I want. And if you do it in secret, your Heavenly Father shall reward you openly. God hates it when people appear or try to appear holy in front of others. When things are done for a show, then they have no eternal value. And the Lord rebuked this type of fasting. So if you are fasting, make sure you don't splash it on Facebook. Praising God how I'm fasting today. You know, you've already got your reward if you do that. All right, or you come to church. Yeah, can't have fellowship lunch today. I'm fasting, everyone. All right, you know, you've got your reward. It is to be done in secret. Fasting has to be done with the right heart, or it doesn't impress God. We read here, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possessed. Now here we see that the Pharisees, they had as a ritual fasting twice. Now that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do, but that's what they did, and it became a ritual. Okay, every, Monday and Thursday, I fast. And that's how we please God, and that's how we are very holy. And I'm very thankful that I do this, and I'm not a sinner like this guy over here. He certainly didn't have the right heart in regards to fasting, or tithing, I might add. Right. Jesus said, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And so, just fasting as a religious act and then being proud about it has no currency in heaven. It doesn't impress the Lord of all. Now, I think another important thing is, nowhere in the scripture do you read that biblical fasting is for physical health. All right? I think some people say, oh yeah, you need to fast because that's going to make you healthy, and they'll tell you all the reasons how they are. Now they know that the dietary format of your stomach, and say, so God wants us to fast because it's healthy for us. And there are fasting diets out there. But once someone tries to get you to fast to be healthy and worship God, you've lost it, right? You've lost the whole reason for it. It's about something you do in private. It's about praying and having supplication to God and beseeching Him for something. It's not about health benefits, if there are. Fasting does not guarantee that your prayers will be answered. That's important. David fasted for 7 days for God to have mercy on that child that was born because of his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba. But the child still died, even though he fasted for 7 days and pleaded for mercy. And so don't think that fasting is, okay, when I really want to get a green light, I got to fast and pray and I've hit the buzzer and I'm definitely going to get that one. No, God is still sovereign when it comes to our prayers and our fasting as well. It doesn't guarantee that we're going to get our prayers answered. Now, despite all of these verses, if we were to look for a doctrine, I've explained this before, a doctrine in the Word of God, which is for New Testament believers, we see it introduced in the Old Testament, reaffirmed in the Psalms and the Prophets. We see it also in the book of the Acts, where they do it, and then confirmed in the epistles. That's how you get in a one where we say, this is what God commands. See, God commands us to be holy. He commands us to pray. He commands us to be holy. I said that one, didn't I? But there are a number of things that He commands us to do. But you can't see that formula with fasting. But we need to look at godly examples where the men of God in the Old Testament fasted. Apostle Paul fasted. Gentiles, believing Gentiles, fasted. Jesus fasted, and He doesn't condemn it. Now, one of the reasons why I don't believe it's a direct command like prayer and holiness and those things is there are some people that just can't fast. If you're a diabetic, it wouldn't be wise to be fasting. I suspect God knew how the makeup is of our bodies, and there are some people that it would be very dangerous to fast, and so there is wisdom required there. But this is what the conclusions that I come to. The Lord doesn't condemn fasting, but he wants it done for the right reasons. So make sure if you're going to fast, do it not as a gimmick, but not to lose weight, not to show off, but you do it for the right reasons. There seems to be an expectation that his disciples will fast. God was expecting that, or Jesus seemed to be expecting that. He makes a promise that if it's done the right way, not for show, and done with the right motives, there is a blessing for those who do this. And as I said, because we're missing that link of the New Testament epistles as a commandment, I believe fasting is not a matter of law or commandment, but liberty. Something that we get to choose to do. And as we see, even in the Old Testament, they chose how long they were going to fast for either. Why did Esther say 3 days and three nights? Why didn't she say four or one? And why were there different time frames as well? It's certainly not something that we think makes us more holier than others. Certainly not something that we judge others by and say, they don't even fast. They mustn't be very spiritual. It's something in regards to personal liberty. And so let me just show you what is fasting. Biblical fasting is abstinence from food in order to concentrate on a definite spiritual problem or need. It is done in conjunction with confession of sin and prayer. I think that's a pretty good statement and definition of fasting. So I'll leave that now up to you. I've given you what I think God says, or I believe God says, and now it's up to each individual to decide what they want to do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you love us, you want the best for us, and Lord, thank you that we have a God that we can come boldly before your throne and receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. And Lord, we thank you that we can do that any time of the day or night, regardless of the circumstances. And Lord, you lead us as individuals in what you would have us to do in regards to this matter of fasting. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.